Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Now on that same day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a mighty prophet indeed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in and stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. It's confirmation weekend. For the first three services of our weekend, seems like a really ordinary Sunday in the Easter season. We have the white paraments, we have the regular flow of worship and the normal faces in the pew. But for 20 eighth graders and their families, this is a really big day. These youth have been coming together for fellowship and conversation and faith development for the past 3 years, every week. And this weekend, they stand and claim the faith that they were baptized into as their own. Or as one of them put it, "I was baptized when I was a baby, but I didn't actively choose whether I believed in God then. My parents made this decision so I could learn about Christianity while I was young. Now I'm choosing to be a Christian and to believe in God." See, at the end of eighth grade, which is the year that I teach in confirmation, I ask each of these students to write a short faith statement, to talk about why they're a Christian or why they're choosing to be confirmed or what it means to them to be a child of God. Because I figure if somebody is at the place where they can claim a faith as their own, they should be able to say a few words as to why that is. And every year I'm humbled and I'm thrilled by the words that they share with me. And at the 11 o'clock service, I weave them into the sermon for the day and let the kids do the preaching. This year, though, I'm sharing it at all our services and letting them preach, because our eighth graders have an awful lot to teach us about faith and discipleship, and I think it's important for us to hear. Plus, whole congregations help to shape the theology of our young people, and you have raised some of these up since they were babies, and so they are actually today going to reflect back to you the faith that you are living out here at Good Shepherd. And they've noticed, by the way. One of them said this, I have a relationship with God because I've grown up around parents who made me go to church every Sunday. But as I've gotten older, I've connected with members of the church more and with God and realized the importance of going to church and what being a Christian truly means. Now I go to church because I want to. Another one said, until sixth grade, I didn't want to go to church. But once I went to the middle, which is our middle school Sunday school, I started to pick up what God meant and what God does. When I go to church to explore my faith, I'm happy to go there now. Still another said, I love this church. I love the way people here care about one another. I love the friends I've made here. I love the service projects and the way we work together to show people outside the church that we care about them. I love the way we accept everyone. That's what I think faith is, spreading the message of love and kindness to all people. One more said, I confirm my faith knowing I have a place in the church community. See, the family that we're building in the name and love of Jesus matters to these kids, and it helps them. It's helping them now to know that they belong. And it's not just the big, broad community. Parents, I want you to take heart and hear this one especially, because your influence is stronger than you might realize, even to any age, given the words of this student. Church is helpful, but my dad plays a big role in my faith. And he's one of the reasons that I believe. And it's because you as parents, you as community, have grounded and rooted these kids in their faith, they're starting to realize how crucial it is. One said, without God, we can't live a full life. Without faith being the center of life, we cannot grow. Another said, I think this is really poignant, I'm a Christian because of my flaws. Through only Jesus can I transcend them and become who God intended me to be. They are recognizing God's work in their lives, and they see God's constant presence with them. One said, God is always something that will not change on us or betray us. Another, you're never really alone no matter what you're doing or where you are. Another, I believe in God. I believe God is a helper, acceptor, guide, teacher, and source of life. And when I'm in church, I feel God's presence with us. Not only are they sensing God with and among them, they're looking to God for direction and comfort in their lives. One of them said, and gosh, isn't this true for all of us? The world can be scary. Not knowing what to do makes me nervous, and growing up is confusing. But I trust God to set me on the right path. Another said, God is with me all the time and helps me to make good decisions. God's got my back. Yet another, every time I need help, I look to God for guidance. I know that when I pray, it's not useless because God wants to hear from me. Trusting in God's grace, still another said, when I have a problem and don't feel comfortable telling someone, I pray because I know God won't judge me, but will comfort and forgive me. And finally, finding God at work in her everyday life, another was nervous about an important tryout. And what did she do? She picked up a Bible, and she read, and she prayed, and she said, I knew God was present with me, helping me to do the best that I could. But it doesn't even stop there. Knowing that faith is active, it's something we work at our whole lives, these confirmands also understand the kind of life that they continue to be called into as disciples. One of them said, I know I am to represent God in everything I do. Another wants to live out the gift of love he's been given by helping others to reach their full potential. Another has discerned that because of the grace she's been shown by God, she's gotten good at forgiving people. Another said, whenever I take time to just notice or recap the day, I see that there's a lot of pain. There's not much I can do about it, but I can make a small difference in someone's day. I want to show God's word through my actions. One said, I just don't just want God in my life. I want God to be a crucial and impactful part of my life. Being a Christian means not only believing in Jesus, but also striving to live your life as he would. And they're starting to do it. Many of them realize the hard truth about living like Jesus and the fact that it means that we're called to love even those who are difficult to love. As one of them put it, being a child of God means being aware of God's love for not just me, but for all of us. Another said, going to church taught me to respect people who are different from me, to be grateful, and to love one another. And one more, living like Jesus means to love and respect everyone. Jesus hung out with the outcasts and the poor and the people society didn't like. God gave us Jesus as an example so we can love and accept everyone, even if we don't agree with them. These young people get it, friends. And this is just the beginning. These are our eighth graders. I always tell them that confirmation is not a graduation. This is one milestone on a journey of many where we can all continue to grow together. One of them summed it up well. She said, over these past few years, we've grown closer to not only God, but to each other. And in FLY, we'll be able to start anew and take all the things we learned with us. Yes. I always get excited when they get excited about FLY, because that's where I really get to hang out with them and watch them grow. But we need them to stick around. When you see these eighth graders, encourage them. Encourage them to continue to be part of this family, to serve alongside us, to share their gifts with us because we need them here. They are not the future of the church. They are the present church. We need them here. And this, what you're hearing, this is how we're shaping them, Good Shepherd. We're helping them to follow Christ, to grow in their faith, and to share God's love. God has been at work in a big way in their lives, walking with them, molding them, shaping them, loving them, just as God does for us. Isn't that the point of the gospel text today? That Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up among us. Just like for those two disciples walking on the road, Jesus shows up when we gather, when we walk discipleship paths together, when we break bread in community. Jesus shows up when we wonder and worry and doubt and are more confused than ever. When we think we have it all figured out and still come up short. Jesus shows up when our faith has hit a wall. When we've done everything we thought we were supposed to do, but we aren't sure what to do next. Jesus shows up in our earnest effort to make sense of all that we've seen and heard. In our honest in vulnerable conversations. When we hurt and grieve and are in desperate need of comfort and hope, Jesus shows up in and among us. This text is called often the walk to Emmaus. We never really find out why the disciples were headed there in the first place. In fact, after their encounter with Jesus, they turn around and go back. We don't really know what their purpose was, but that's kind of the point. This story isn't about their destination, it's about the walk to Emmaus. Jesus shows up on the journey. This journey for our eighth graders is only just beginning. Our journey continues on as we walk with them, as we walk together. And let us go confidently as we watch for Jesus showing up among us. Thanks be to God.